In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus Christ himself says, "No man has ascended to the Father, but the Son of Man who came down from the Father. No man has ascended to heaven, but the Son of Man who came down from heaven." That is, he says, the Son of Man who is in heaven. The Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the only one begotten of the Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He refers not just to himself, the Son of Man, but also to the Son of God who is always in heaven, because he adds those words, the Son who is always in heaven. He is the one who has come down. Jesus the Christ is he. Now, when Jesus the Christ, the incarnate Son of God, comes into the world, is the Son of God no longer with the Father in heaven? Of course not. Because the Son of God is God himself. Limitless. Outside of creation. Beyond this world. Creator of this world. He isn't absent from heaven when Jesus Christ is born. Now here there is a great mystery. There is a link between human beings and God. He created us in his image and likeness. And God himself, the Son of God, came into the world and took our humanity on himself. But is our humanity able to include within itself all of God? We are limited beings. It is a great miracle that our humanity is even compatible with God's divinity. Something that had not been expected throughout the Old Testament. That he would fill our humanity by becoming incarnate himself, a human being. That he would fill our humanity with himself. But he is limitless. We are amazed when we think of the one who gave birth to Jesus, the Theotokos, the Mother of God, when we think that within her womb there was born and lived during the time of the development of this child, Jesus the Christ, within her womb was and lived the limitless one, God himself, God who cannot be contained there in the body of a woman to give birth to Jesus Christ. But would we say that God is present there, the one who is limitless and boundless in such a way that he is for that time no longer in the heavens? That can't be. Jesus points out that the Son of Man, the Son of God, himself, Jesus the Christ, has come down from heaven. He is the only one who will ascend into heaven. No one ascends into the heaven but the Son of God who has come down from the heaven. The one who is in the heavens. The one who is with the Father. The Son of God himself. If we are going to ascend, if we are going to live, not just in terms of what happens after we die, if we are going to be in heaven with God, there is only one way that can happen: by the Son of Man. No one ascends to heaven. No one has ascended to heaven but the Son of Man. And if we are going to go to heaven, we have to go along with him. Outside of him, no salvation. Outside of him, no life. Outside of him, no resurrection. We teach that the power of death over us has been destroyed. We can triumph over temptations that tempt us to be less than we are when we are like Christ. We can triumph over them. Why? Because their power over us has already been destroyed. Their power over us is our fear of death. Our fear that, like a snake, it's lurking there. We're afraid to get too close to it. We avoid it. We avoid doing the things that are right. Instead, do the easy things, because we feel like if we do things as they ought to be done, we're going to suffer the consequences. They are going to be painful and hurtful to us, and we're going to die. That fear of death has been destroyed for Christians because Jesus Christ destroyed the power of death over us on the cross. And so now it is possible for us to ascend from that fear. Not just at the end of our life, but whenever we are tempted. We need not be transfixed, not able to move, not able to do the thing that is right out of fear. We can rise up from that fear. The power of that death has been overcome. Now here, today we are celebrating the birth, the nativity of the one who gave birth to Christ our Lord. It is the nativity of the Theotokos. How about her? Isn't there something called the Feast of Assumption, where at the end of her life, she is taken up into heaven? If you go to the Wikipedia article, you'll see that it says under the Feast of the Assumption that Roman Catholics, Episcopalians, and Orthodox all celebrate the Feast of the Assumption. And that's not true. We don't celebrate the Feast of the Assumption. No one ascends to the Father but Jesus Christ. And how does that happen? Because he has destroyed the power of death over us by the cross. Death is absolutely the only way that we can unite ourselves to Christ and ascend from our sins as we are tempted or at the end of our lives. What we celebrate when it comes to the death of the Mother of God, Mary the Theotokos, is her falling asleep, her dormition, her death. But we know that during her life, she lived a life that was the death of pride in herself. She did not live by pride and self-love, the way we do when we are not truly being Christians. Just think, she gave birth to the Son of God. Surely the fallen human temptation on her part would have been to say things like, "You cannot take this wonderful and beautiful child that I have given birth to and torture him and kill him. You cannot take him. He is my life. If you take him, you take my life. I forbid it. It pains me too much to lose him." All of us who have children who grow up and leave us, we can relate to that. We don't want our children in a way to grow up and to leave us. We enjoy being parents of little girls and little boys that we see grow up in a very short time, not that many years. When you're in the middle of it, you think it's going to last forever. Sometimes you're happy about it, sometimes you're not happy about it. But it really doesn't last that long. And then they are gone away to live their life. Well, the Theotokos, the mother of God, the mother of Jesus Christ, she had him taken away to die on the cross. And within herself, as she had her whole life, she lived a life of the death of self-love, the death of pride, the death of that false self that wants to act as though everything is about us. That has to come to an end. And so we are already experiencing that kind of death and resurrection, living by a higher way of life that is the life of Christ himself, long before we reach the point that body and soul were separated. And the body lies there, lifeless in death. And we celebrate the fact that with her, we know and we celebrate, although we keep it within the faith. We don't preach it outside the faith. We know in her case for sure that death did not overcome her. The falling asleep of the Theotokos is a final triumph over death. She is the one that we affirm, that we say, we know for sure here. This is the first fruit of Christian life. The Theotokos we celebrate as one who is already in the life that is fulfilled in Christ. The same life that we partake of whenever we overcome sin is the life that at the end of our earthly life cannot be overcome by death. And in her we say, we know for sure. She didn't ascend and not die. She died and then ascended to heaven at one with Christ. No one ascends to heaven except the Son of Man, the Son of God, who came down from heaven and is always in heaven. If we are at one with him, then we ascend with him, only with him. When we celebrate the Theotokos, we celebrate the life that she bore into the world. We share that life as Christians. Why else are we Christians if we don't share that life? We are baptized into that life, into the life of the Son of God, so that we can not be overcome by temptations, by sins during our life. And in the end, death will not be able to overcome us. That's the life that we celebrate when we celebrate the Theotokos. We are called to bring that life into the world by living that life, just as she did, just as all of the saints did. And being able to live that life, that is salvation. Salvation isn't anything else. It isn't some kind of legal agreement or a legal negotiation with God. You accept the death of Christ and let us off. That's not salvation. Salvation is the reality of how life can be lived now and forever. Beginning a life that can't be destroyed by the power of death now, during the living of our life, or at the end of our life. And we never live that life alone. We never have to take one step alone. No one ascends but the Son of God. Only he. We cannot overcome our sins except as we are at one with him. It is his power, his life, that we have united ourselves to, and nothing can overcome us except fear. Because after Jesus says, no one ascends to heaven but the Son of Man, no one descends but the Son of Man, the Son of Man who is always in heaven, he says something else. He says, as in the desert Moses lifted up the snake upon the tree, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. Now, what does that mean? When they were in the desert, there was a point at which a snake was lifted up on a pole and raised there and died on the pole. Jesus is saying that death will be lifted up on a pole. Death itself, the snake, it can deal death. It can give death to us. There's the snake, the serpent in the garden. Death itself, Jesus says, will be lifted up on a pole. What pole is he talking about? He's talking about the cross. The cross will be lifted up and death will be destroyed on that tree. The foreshadowing of that event was the lifting up of the snake in the desert on the pole by Moses. The fulfillment of it is when Jesus, the Son of God, fully man, will be crucified, lifted up on the cross, die, and by his death destroy the power of death. The power of death will be destroyed on the cross. And St. Gregory Nazianzus, on his scroll over here, boiling down what he says there, which is difficult to follow the way he says it. But basically what he is saying is this. Death, talking to death directly. Death, you still have the form of a serpent. And you still inspire fear in us. Every time we are tempted to do something that we ought not to do. We do the things that we do that we ought not to do out of fear of death, in order to build ourselves up in some way, in order to gain that sense of power or strength or superiority. We do those things that are wrong. And we do those things out of the fear of death because we want to feel superior to death. I'm not afraid of that snake. Look here what I can do. But we are afraid of that snake. We are afraid of death. Death still has the form of a snake that frightens us, Gregory is saying. But in spite of that fact, death, you have been overcome. You have no power over us. I can't help but to use, and it's embarrassing, the week after the political conventions, to use a political quotation, but it's not from the conventions anyway. Nobody said it. It is from a particular president who was a member of a particular party, but it should be a quotation that means a lot to us. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. We remain afraid of death, and we ought not to fear it. As Christians, we ought to be afraid of being fearful of death when we ought not to be fearful of death. Its power has been overcome. We ought not to, as the martyrs never did, let the fear of death keep us from simply continuing to live a life that we know that nothing can put an end to. Death has already been overcome. That's how we go about living the life of salvation that we have been given to live. There is such a thing as Christian healing, but in our secular society, where the norm is understood to be living a worldly life, having good health, not having any accidents, that's the standard. That's as good as it gets. That's the way of understanding things according to the world. And so when it comes to Christian healing, we think of those groups that have someone come in who has a broken foot or a sore place in their body, and they're miraculously restored to the same good health condition that enables us to live a worldly life. And that's what they think Christian healing is. But that's not Christian healing. Christian healing is when we are healed of our inability to live the life that God has given us to live. That's Christian healing. The spiritual effort that we make in our lives in order to be able to actually live the life that God has given us to live, instead of living in fear of death, instead of being controlled by our worldly passions and our worldly desires, that is a condition of illness and sickness that needs healing. And it is possible for us to be healed of that condition. It is possible for us to pray to God to be healed of that condition, so that we don't go in the fear of death, so that we don't live our lives in fear and anxiety with no peace. There is no necessity for any of those things. The transformation that is meant to take place in ourselves, where we become like God, instead of trying to be gods ourselves, it is much more possible than we can imagine when our standard is the life of the world. Once our standard becomes that of how we are meant to be, once we are more desiring of heavenly things, we can come to see that that which is really and truly possible for us is to be transformed simply by turning away from our self-worship, our self-love. Yes, the old Adam must die, but I am not the old Adam. You are not the old Adam, not the old Eve. We are one with the new Adam. We are the same as the new Eve, the one who gave birth to Christ God. We can do the same. She is human, we are human. We share the life that she brought into the world, along with all of the saints, along with all of the monks of Mount Athos who are living that life. We share that life as well. And sometimes we call out to them to keep us along with them, to keep us one with them in this life that is the life of the Son of God, who is the only one who can ascend, and it is only along with him that we can ascend out of our sins and at the end of our lives. Sometimes we call out to all of those who are one with him, and we have a name that we can use that is so completely appropriate when we call out for that help. Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Because she is nothing if not one with him and with all of them. We know that she was not left to molder away in the body, but was brought into heaven after dying, because she is at one with him. And all the rest who are at one with him and through our humanity, just like her humanity, we too can be one with them. And so we call out to her. We're not calling out to her in isolation from everyone else, but hers is the most appropriate name that we can use to call out on all of those who are one with him and have ascended into living that unending life, even now, not just at the end. Most Holy Theotokos, keep us from leaving and abandoning this life of salvation that we share with you, and not just with you, we can even say through you, because we're not thinking in legalistic terms here. Oh, how can you say that we are saved through the Theotokos? How can you say that we are saved through St. Timothy or St. Philip? Well, we can say it because it is through our humanity that we have been saved. God took on our humanity, you see. It is through our humanity. It's even through my humanity that I will be saved. I will be saved through my humanity. You will be saved through your humanity. The body is not a bad thing. It is the means. Life is about salvation. The living of life, the living of salvation. That is what will not end. That is how we will be taken up, because he has completely taken on our humanity. It is ultimately not through just the humanity of the saints or the humanity of the Theotokos. It is the humanity of Jesus Christ, because that is their humanity. When we refer to them, we are referring to his humanity. He has taken that on completely. It is the only humanity we have to share. The humanity separate from God, it's not real, it's false, it will die, it will pass away. Our only true humanity is the humanity that we share with them, and we call out upon them, save us. Let me ascend along with the only one who will ascend to heaven, the Son of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.